And if I notice myself focusing on negative things, I can then change that. Okay, don't focus on that. Yes, that happened, whatever, but I'm going to focus on this instead. Because what we focus on, again, expands.
Two of the greatest lies that I believe we've been fed by the health and fitness industry is number one, if you want to be healthy, you have to release weight. And then number two, that health in general is a measurement of your BMI, your percent body fat, your weight, as well as the blood results that come back from the doctor. Welcome back, athletes. I'm your host, Sherry Shaban, and with each episode, I am honored to be your coach and guide in the journey to fall in love with fitness and ultimately yourself. My intention in each episode is to help you release the old story of who you are and step into the one you are always meant to be, so that health and fitness is not just what you do, but who you are. In today's episode, we're not only gonna redefine what health is and maybe offer you a new perspective around your goals, but we're also gonna talk about why it's actually important to be healthy first in order to release weight. Now we're just about to dive into it. And before we do that, I wanna quickly remind you that if you head on over to iTunes, you rate and review this podcast, giving me a 5-star review, and then sending the screenshot to sherry@sherryshaban.com, you're going to win a $500 voucher to join me in Transformation in Paradise Metamorphosis Greece this October, October 12th to 19th in Lefkada, Greece. Now, if you have been experiencing unwanted eating behavior or other self-sabotaging habits, you're gonna wanna make sure you join this retreat. It is absolutely life-changing. And if you head on over to sherryshaban.com/retreats, you can read all the reviews and previous testimonials from those who previously joined Transformation in Paradise. All right, athletes, now without further ado, let's get into it. Well, hello, Nicholas. Nice to have you back on as usual.
Yes, it's great to be back. My second appearance now on this
But
beautiful podcast of yours.
what's really the truth is that you don't really leave, so you're kind of always there,
Right.
which I'm really
The
grateful
background,
for.
lurking in the shadows.
Right? And what I love about the conversation that we're just about to get into is that this is sort of the basis of all the things that we teach. And this is around the same concepts that we teach in our retreats. We've got a retreat coming up this October in Lefkada, Greece, October 12th to 19th, which I'm so excited about, Metamorphosis. And
Me
just
too.
like the name implies, there will be a major metamorphosis happening there. And if you really have been suffering from unwanted eating behaviors or other self-sabotaging habits, by the way, we talk about food as an unwanted behavior, but it could also be recreational drugs and shopping and gambling and porn and sex and all the things that really get in the way from your highest self. And so if you feel like every single time you're back on the wagon, as they call it, or you feel like you've got your rituals down and all of a sudden something happens that completely derails you and you have a hard time staying on track and staying committed to yourself, this week will be absolutely transformative, especially because we're going to be talking about what health really is and how to create a balance in health, and then also explain why we have to actually be healthy first if we want to release weight. And so I love having you on here, Nicholas, because we kind of tag team in these conversations. And before we begin, I think just as a quick intro, maybe for those who are listening, maybe you can share a little bit about your story, maybe about the work that we do together, and just any sort of reference that the listener can learn something new from.
Well, to tell my whole story, we would need probably 7 episodes. So I'll keep it
Your
quick.
whole story is on episode that I think is about 6 months ago. So if you search for Nicholas's name, you're going to hear his story. And this is probably one of the most impactful stories I've ever heard in my life. So you definitely want to go back and listen to that. All right, Nicholas.
So just to recap a little bit, had some crazy life events throughout my life, and I've had lots of ups and downs and unexpected twists and turns that ultimately led me to this space in health and wellness. It's always been kind of a passion of mine since I was 14, really. I've traveled the country and now the world with these retreats, kind of teaching and sharing my knowledge and experience in this health and wellness space. It led us to cross paths a couple of years ago now. So now we kind of combined our forces to have a greater impact in the world and on people in a very good way, in a positive way. So I'm just feel so blessed and grateful for the opportunity to do that, to have this impact in such a positive way. So that's how I came to be here in this community, in this space, in this, in this world, and on this podcast, and in part of Make Peace with Food, and all the stuff. And so just super grateful for that and grateful to be here.
Well, we're grateful to have you, and I'm grateful to be working beside you in all the things that we're doing, and really just see what we can create together to really help people, what I believe is really the root of our work, to help people overcome suffering. And I actually believe that a lot of the suffering was created from diet culture. And so that's why this work is really important when we talk about making peace with food and really understanding what anti-diet means, what it really means to be an intuitive eater. And why I want to point that out is because we hear these terms often these days, and they're unfortunately misguided. And people have the impression that intuitively eating or being anti-diet means I also don't care about what I eat. But that also is kind of the opposite of what we're sharing, because what we're sharing is our health, our wellness, our commitment to ourselves really has to come from a place of love. And so if my intention around my self-care is always coming from a place of love, then it really will actually matter what I give my body and what type of nutrients I want to choose for my body. And so that's where sort of, we sort of draw that line in terms of how do you really address health and how do you really address what it means to be anti-diet and intuitive eater. And we want to share too that being an intuitive eater is just listening to the cues that are always there. And we have this inner wisdom, we have this inner doctor, if you will, and this inner knowledge to really choose the foods that serve us the best and serve us the most. And you'll notice that when you listen to these voices and you tap into it, not only will you actually feel better, you'll have improved digestion and sleep and vitality and all these beautiful things that we get from having these rituals that serve us, but you'll also notice a sense of calmness. And I always talk about the making peace with food really being the peace that actually happens in the mind. Because anybody who has been struggling with their health for a long time, or who has been struggling with the concept of health, trying to really gain control over their health, what we actually notice is that there's a lot of suffering. And the suffering comes from too much information, actually. Too much information from diet culture, too much information on Google. Every single person has a different diet and opinion, and every single thing is backed by science. And now what we're doing is we're moving away from that inner wisdom that should actually tell us what, again, serves us the most. And so, because it ends up taking up so much of our mental real estate, those who have been struggling with their health, maybe with their weight, maybe with really just getting into a good routine around their health and fitness rituals, will notice that a lot of their time, a lot of their thoughts is spent on food, is spent on their body, is spent on body image, is really spent on just that mundane day-to-day choice that we make around food, not realizing that it's actually consuming them. And so that's where that actual peace part comes from. It's actually peace of mind that you don't have to fear or have anxiety around what to eat, when to eat, how much to eat, thinking that every single little thing must be calculated and that there are good and bad foods and that there are major consequences to eating the bad foods. And so we just want to start off by saying that. And just coming to maybe what your opinion is, Nicholas, especially when we share this concept that if we want to release weight, we have to be healthy first versus the other way around, which is actually what society feeds us, that if we want to be healthy, we have to release weight. And so I'm curious from your perspective, what does that actually mean? And why is that important to maybe use to redefine our health and fitness journey?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And it's so true. So many people I talk to, they're like, oh, I need to do this or that or XYZ so I can be healthy. My doctor says I need to do this, this, and this to be healthy. But you're absolutely right. We actually need to be healthy first. And then the weight, all the health problems, the medications, all that stuff will take care of itself. So that's a great question. What does that mean? Be healthy first. How do I do that? How do I be healthy first? And one of the things that we say a lot and practice ourselves is to mimic people who are already successful in doing whatever it is that we want to do. And this goes way beyond health, right? This is anything, business, career, relationships, whatever, but especially health too. So I can look at somebody who's healthy and mimic what they do. What are their routines, right? How often do they move or exercise? How often do they like what are their morning routines, their rituals? What are their self-care routines look like? Right, how much water do they drink? What time do they get up? What time do they go to bed? How much sleep do they get? There's so much there, right? And we don't have to do all this stuff at once. We can just pick one little thing and start to implement the habits and routines of someone who is healthy. And that's how we can begin to be healthy first, right? And then just naturally, as we do these things, like we're gonna release weight, right? We're gonna start to feel better. We're gonna have more energy. We're gonna sleep better. We're gonna be more productive. We're gonna show up differently in our lives for ourselves and for the other people in our lives, right?
Right.
And that in itself is kind of a double-edged sword, because people so often put everybody else first, right, and neglect their own self-care and their own, well, health,
Right.
right? But once we shift that and put ourselves first, our own health, our own wellness, our own self-care first, then we can show up for the others so much better.
So good. Couldn't agree more, and I think what we can also do is just expand on what health really means. And so, all right, so we've
Sure.
made this bold statement that in order for us to release weight, we actually need to be healthy first. Okay, so what does that even mean, like you're saying, Nicholas, to be healthy? And so we know is that health oftentimes is measured by our BMI or our percent body fat telling us that we're obese, or maybe it is our weight telling us that we're in a normal range. Maybe it's blood results that came back that also tell us that we are in a normal range. But I think we can all agree that we know people in our lives who maybe live in larger bodies and who actually have so much vitality, and they're runners and they're doing all of these beautiful things and they're very active. And then we also know people who are in smaller bodies who actually have low energy, who are ill often, who are maybe seeking medical advice often. And so we have to kind of
Interesting.
take away this image of what health looks like, because again, we can all go back in our lives and know that person who went and got normal blood results, yet they don't feel okay, right? And so health is not actually your BMI either, because we also know that bodybuilders who are quite lean and have a lot of muscle mass are also considered obese according to the BMI scale. So let's take away all of these measurements, because I think we can all agree that health is how we feel, right? It is not this static moment in the distant future that once achieved will all of a sudden give us vitality and make us feel good about ourselves and love ourselves and honor ourselves. But health is really how we feel. And we know that we feel healthy when suddenly we realize we can do all the things that we want to do and we can commit to all these things. We're sleeping well, we're not tired all the time, and we're able to commit to all the important things in our lives. So I think maybe from that perspective, we can agree. And by the way, if you're listening and you don't agree, I would love to hear that, because this conversation is wide open to anything that you want to share. And if you have an aha moment, if you have a new idea or concept that you want to share with us, I would love to hear it. And you can always email me at sherry@sherrychaban.com. I'll forward it also over to Nicholas. And so what we teach, coming back to health, in our retreats, and of course our retreats, every single retreat, we do have different curriculums, we're always focusing on different things, but our underlying sort of theme is that health is a balance between your relationship with your body, your relationship with others, and then your relationship with self, which is your mind, which is that voice in your head, which is the psyche, right? It's this also the self-concept that we can maybe use as well to expand on that a little bit more. And so if health then is a balance between relationship with body, a relationship with others, and relationship with self, oh my goodness, that can really go in many different directions. And before we even go in those different directions, let's talk about why that's important. Okay, again, imagine you have these beautiful self-care rituals. You're running every single morning, you're eating only organic, you're juicing, you've got your post-workout supplements and recovery drinks and everything down to the T. You sleep really well, you've really honed in on your sleep ritual, no blue lights in the evening. Make sure that you don't get interrupted sleep. And yet, you have a very toxic relationship that's creating a lot of stress for you. And your partner actually doesn't really acknowledge you, or maybe there's a lot of fighting, or maybe even is narcissistic or abusive in some ways. That's obviously going to impact how you feel. That's going to impact your health. That's going to impact your motivation. In fact, just having that tension constantly there in your life is going to trigger your nervous system to constantly be in what we call protection mode, which is also known as fight or flight. And so that's why relationships are incredibly important. And, I know I just mentioned your spouse being maybe a difficult relationship in your life. However, this could also be at work. This could be in your work environment. You might have a very stressful work environment. Maybe it is one of your siblings. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's a friend that you have. Every single time you spend time with this person, you just feel heavy, you feel down, and you notice that oftentimes will emotionally eat after you spend time with this person. And so that's why health can't just be measurement on a scale, and it cannot just be measurement from blood results, but it really has to be all the different areas of your life that impact your mood, that impacts your state, that impacts your motivation, your energy levels, and your decisions. And so, Nicholas, I don't know if you want to jump in and add to that. I know you're nodding your head. It looks like you have some stuff to add too.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's spot on. So another way to say it is health isn't just physical, right? It's not just like you say, the measurements. It's beyond that. It's psychological as well. And that's kind of how those three relationships tie in, because like you say, if I'm having a bad day at work, or I'm having an argument with my boss, that's gonna affect my, again, my nervous system, right? It's gonna put me in that fight or flight state. And so much changes. My thinking changes, like what's actually happening in my body changes. And now my body's fighting against me in my health goals rather than with me when I'm feeling safe in a good psychological state, right? So it goes far beyond. The physical aspect is a small part of it. So I think that's another way that I like to look at it is it's psychological too. Like you hear, mental health, that's
Right.
health, that ties in. It's all one big package.
So well said. And, again, I want everyone just to take a moment just to just maybe sit with this, right? Because again, if this is a new concept that we're hearing about, or maybe we're actually allowing our minds to maybe expand a little bit into new definitions of what health can look like. And just think about what happens in that long day after work where you've had a really rough day, maybe things didn't go your way, maybe somebody even spoke to you in a way that was absolutely unacceptable. You're likely looking forward to that drink, or maybe that joint at the end of the night, or maybe that meal, or the snacks in front of the TV. And so when we start to think about self-sabotage, and anytime we actually lead to self-sabotage, what we have to tie in there is the nervous system. Because anytime we are out of integrity, meaning what we are doing is not aligned with what we're thinking or feeling, then we have to question the impact of the nervous system. And so, again, coming back to that overall holistic sort of definition of health, which is the relationship with your body, the relationship with others, and then the relationship with self, we can see how any of those three components can create massive triggers in the nervous system, bringing us to protection mode. And the other thing I like to point out too is when we talk about health, we're also talking about our relationship with our body. It's not the state of our body, it is our relationship with our body, because that's a huge difference. That really almost allows for our body to be this own person, this own entity. And now we can communicate with this entity where we can almost hear our body responding back. And so, if after, let's say, a long night of binge eating, a lot of sugary things, we wake up in the morning, what is the body maybe saying to us? What does it actually want to say to us, right? So, if we just imagine that our body could talk to us and tell us, hey, man, that night, like, why did you do that? Oh my goodness, I couldn't sleep. I had heartburn all night. And now I'm constipated this morning and I'm not feeling okay. I feel like super sluggish. I almost feel hungover. And now I don't feel like doing anything. Plus, I'm super bloated and I'm so swollen and I'm in a bad mood, right? And so, when we think about that relationship with the body, we could also tap into how we treat our body. And do we treat our body with loving kindness, or do we treat our body constantly with a critical eye, almost feeling like no matter what our body does for us, it is never good enough? Even though our body shows up for us every single day with five senses, with the ability to walk and see and touch and smell and do all the things that we love and enjoy, how do we still treat our body? And so, the more that you actually understand that there's this beautiful dance between you and your body and your relationship with your body, now you can start to make very different decisions. In fact, you can start to treat your body a little bit differently. And what's beautiful about that is just notice what your body's going to do back for you, because that's sometimes something we don't actually believe when we congratulate ourselves for doing things and we motivate ourselves and we lovingly maybe coerce ourselves into doing the things that we know are serving us. Our body responds back with so much gratitude and kindness, and even just does more and more and more and more for us every single time.
I like to view the body as a separate entity,
Yeah.
right? And then, like, what is my relationship with it? How have I been treating that? How have I been talking to it? How have I been taking care of it? What have I been feeding it? Right? That's a great way to look at it. And to play student for a moment, just to back up a little bit, those three relationships with others. Okay, yep, I get that. But sometimes people might get confused, like, how can I have a relationship with my body and a relationship with myself? That could be confusing. So maybe we can, would you like to expand on that a little bit, the difference between those two?
Yeah, that's so good. And I even want to almost add one more layer. And so the self is almost the self could be that voice in our head, that reflection of who we think we are, right? It's let's call it identity. And in yoga, we call it ego. And let's say in more psychology, we'll call it self-concepts. It's all of the perspectives and the information and the stories that we've gathered from our time here, and it is the way that we view the world, right? So that
What we
is,
believe to be true about ourselves.
that's exactly right, what we believe to be true about ourselves. And so if we all just sit here a moment, because this is really beautiful and we'll actually be able to separate the three, but if we all just sit here a moment and just place our hands on our lap, right? And just notice where our hands are on our lap, we can actually feel the pressure maybe from our legs through our hands. And then you could also notice if you're shifting your perspective more towards your legs, you'll actually feel your hands against your legs. And so you'll just notice that any physical pressure, any physical sensation that we're feeling right now, that is the body, right? So that's the body. Okay. So I just noticed that as I was feeling the pressure on my hands and my legs, I noticed that I was observing that. So as I was talking to you, I'm also observing that I'm feeling that. And so there's already dissociation there between the person who's trying to think about the leg and the hand, and then the actual body that's feeling the pressure from that contact. And so the self, we will even separate it from that because there is this witness, right? I'm witnessing right now that I'm speaking, I'm witnessing that I'm thinking, I'm noticing that there's thoughts in my head. And I noticed that I was bringing up an example of the hand and the thigh. So I noticed that while I was thinking about these things, it was almost like there was another part of me that was just watching, right? Almost observing that. And so we all have that voice in our head, right? It's that voice in our head that talks to us, that tells us about other people, that gives us warnings about things, that makes us worry about stuff, that makes us also really happy if we focus on those thoughts. And it's that voice in that head that also makes up all the stories. So if I bump into Nicholas and he just kind of walks by and doesn't really look at me, I'm gonna start creating stories in my head. This voice is gonna start to tell me, oh my goodness, like he must be mad at you. Look at him. He just walked on by. He didn't even acknowledge you, didn't even say hello. And then now that voice is gonna continue to add to it. And by the time I continue to feed that voice, I've now decided that I'm never gonna speak to Nicholas again. I've blocked him on Facebook, and that's it. You know what? I totally blacklisted him in my life, right? And we do this, right? We make up all these stories about a person. If we heard something, we make assumptions. And so the mind can continue to create things, right? And the mind is that voice in the head, that is the self, that also is thinking about what's going to happen in the future, or is bringing up the past experiences and memories, and is deciding what it likes and what it doesn't like, and deciding what's good and what's bad, and deciding that there's a duality to everything. Whereas the witness or the I, right, that is just kind of always present is that part of us that's witnessing the voice, it's witnessing the body, it's witnessing all of the information that it's actually constantly experiencing, including emotions, because that's one more layer that we can add. So, not to overcomplicate it, I love where this is going, but what's beautiful about this is it allows us to really separate our thoughts in general from our physical body and allow us to have also another relationship with our thoughts where we can just observe them and we can understand that our thoughts are just created in the mind the way heartbeats are created in the heart. And it's not who we are. So if that voice in my head is always telling me that I'm a loser, that no matter how much I try something, it's never going to work out for me, if it's always reminding me of all the times I've failed, then I just have to notice that that's not me. That's not really who I am. It's just a program that's running. It's just a voice in my head that's taking all of these little pieces of my past experiences with a lot of judgment and then giving me back information that doesn't really feel very loving and very safe or very kind.
Right. And just like I like to do it with my physical body, look, view it as a separate entity. I actually like to do that with the voice in my head too. Like, can you imagine if that internal dialogue was like somebody sitting on the couch next to you? You know, give it a whole separate entity. And
So
then what's
good.
your relationship with that? You know, most of the time, especially if you're new to this, you're going to think that person's totally insane because what they're saying doesn't even make sense half of the time.
Right.
Right. And then, well, especially when they're saying, oh, you can't do that. You're not good enough. You're like, you know, this or that. You can just say, like, dude, what are you talking about? You know, and you can almost like have a counter argument. Like, look, what are you talking about? I've done this. I've done that. Like, I have like all this great stuff going on. So you can almost have a conversation with it, or in other words, a relationship, that internal dialogue. So yeah, that's how I like to separate it, and that's kind of the answer I was looking for. That the relationship with ourself is more that internal dialogue that's going on, and the relationship with our body is the physical, the physicalness of it.
Right. Yeah, and I think we want to also add that dialogue or that voice in our head is also very much a reflection of our subconscious mind,
Oh,
right?
definitely.
So our subconscious mind, by the way, that is the part of the brain that just takes care of the things that we don't actually have to bring so much awareness to. So generally, whenever we learn something new, it's in our awareness, it's in our consciousness, but the moment that we have learned it, oftentimes it just kind of goes back into the subconscious mind where we don't have to pay attention to it. It's like driving, right? The first moment when you learn how to drive, you know, blind spots and mirrors and adjust everything and put your hands on the steering wheel 10 to 2 and make sure you do your signals. And there's all these little things that you have to remember. And now, after having learned that, it is very unconscious in your mind. Even if you haven't driven in years, you can still get into a car and still know what to do and remember what to do because that is learned and that's programmed. And so all of our life experiences kind of operate in the same way, even the traumatic ones, even the ones where, for example, somebody said something that was very painful to us, somebody maybe said something that was very insulting, or maybe made even a judgment about us. And so it becomes so easy to learn that and then accept that as our truth and then have the mind with the voice continue to play that back over and over and over and over again, reminding us of that being our self-concept or our identity. And so,
Right.
go ahead,
It's
Nick.
just like the driving,
Right.
right? How did we learn that driving? How did it become subconscious?
Right.
Through repetition,
Yes.
right? Through practice and repetition, we tried to over and over and over and over. So when we have something traumatic, for example, right? And then we have that internal dialogue that tells us we're not good enough or this, you know, whatever, over and over and over. That's how we now learn that. And that becomes their programming. And now that's in our subconscious mind. And now that's running back there in our subconscious mind without us even realizing it half of the time.
Right. Yeah. So good. And I love that you've just added that because even when we've heard, and just notice this, by the way, like I think we all do this, right? We've heard so many great things about us, right? So many compliments throughout our life, right? I know I've received many, many compliments. I receive them on a daily basis. And I'm sure everyone listening can agree that they also receive really nice compliments on a daily basis. But which ones do you remember, right? You remember the ones that hurt, right? You remember the ones that were so painful, right? And if I look back and think about, wow, I can get daily positive compliments, and yet I'll only hang on to the negative ones. I'll only remember the negative ones and repeat them in my mind over and over and over and over and over and over again until I've programmed my mind to believe that that's who I am, that that's my self-concept. It's super interesting to question why we do that. Like, why do we do that? If I had actually picked one of those positive compliments that someone gave me and had that run in my mind over and over and over and over again, I would have a healthier relationship with self, right? And so that's sort of, you know, why we address that and why that's so incredibly important is because we absolutely acknowledge and honor the fact that many of us listening may have gone through traumatic life events, maybe abuse at times. And what I want to offer with that is you're not alone. And there is a way to overcome that and to rewrite that. and improve relationship with self if you allow for that. And more importantly, if you allow yourself to dissociate from that voice in your head actually being you. And so when you create that balance, again, of health, which is your relationship with your body, being kind and loving to your body, imagining it as this other entity, and your relationship with others, weeding out all of the toxic relationships in your life that are really energy vampires that are taking away from your vitality and your energy. And then also making sure that you're addressing that relationship with self and just acknowledging maybe what that voice in your head is always saying. And we acknowledge it and listen to it. And if we listen to it, what we also realize is that we are the ones who are listening. So we're the ones who are paying attention. We're the ones who are aware of that. We're the ones who are receiving that. So that can't be from us, right? That can't be who we really are, that witness part of ourselves that is always just looking, observing, witnessing everything around, actually without judgment. And so I just want to leave you with that today. I think, Nicholas, you might have something else that you want to share before we wrap up.
I was just going to say that's really the first step is to begin to notice that internal dialogue and separate yourself from it. That's not me saying that. That's something I'm experiencing, right? So you can notice it and then notice, okay, well, what is it saying? What is it focusing on? Because what we focus on expands. So just is it focusing on the negative comments that I got all day, for example, or am I focusing on the positive compliments that I got? And if I notice myself focusing on negative things, I can then change that. Okay, don't focus on that. Yes, that happened, whatever, but I'm going to focus on this instead. Because what we focus on, again, expands.
So good. So good. I love that so much, and thanks so much for that reminder. And it's so true. And along those lines, if maybe you're listening and you're curious about a new approach towards health could look like, especially if, let's say, weight loss has been something that you've been struggling with for a long time, or maybe self-sabotaging behavior. You know, we always say that if we repeat the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, that that's called insanity. And so I want you just to think about this, right? And what's positive about it, what's really exciting about it, in my opinion, is that it's not you. It's actually not you. It's the process. That's what needs to be addressed. It's not you. It's just that you've been repeating the same thing, trying the same thing, and it's not giving you the result. So it's not you. It is actually the process. But if you allow yourself to try something different, instead of trying to constantly address your health journey by focusing on just the weight and the food and the exercise, what if we actually started to focus on that internal transformation of health could look like? What would it look like if I could start to heal my relationship with my body, heal my relationship with others, and maybe even heal my relationship with self? And how could that impact my life if I don't have all these other stressors that are constantly going on? If I'm always feeling centered in who I am and how I feel, how could that impact the decisions I make around my self-care? And what could change? And let me tell you that if you're listening, that the sky is absolutely unlimited, and you can accomplish anything that your heart desires if you allow yourself to maybe be curious and be brave and trust in your body and its intuitive capacity to heal itself and to ask for everything that it needs.
So good.
Well, thank you so much for joining. I love our
We
conversations together. And you know, as soon as we're done, we're just going to get on the phone and probably
got
keep
right
talking
talk more.
about this for another hour.
And I'm glad you didn't say that the sky was the limit, because even that's not, the mind is.
I was about to say that. I'm like, you know what? No, even the sky, limitless. So good. Thank you so
Amazing.
much, Nicholas. Thank you for your time today.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fall in Love with Fitness. Whether you're already on your fitness journey or just getting started, we're in this together. Just head on over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review, and you'll be entered into the drawing to win my 6-week transformation course. Then go to fallinlovewithfitness.com and get your free gift from me so you get back your energy and reinvigorate your life. Join me on the next episode, and remember, you are an inspiration.